One hour. Before I get to the message, this was not planned, but Linda used this bulletin, quoting Matthew 6:33, to seek the first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you look on the inside, here somewhere, let's see, on the back page, it's repeated again. I thought, well, Lord, you're giving me confirmation once again, because this morning we're going to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 24 through verse 33. This morning we're going to talk about priorities. About our priorities in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24 to verse 33. Beginning in verse 24, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Frank Ward, lead us in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God, to be able to come into your house and to worship you. We just pray, Lord God, that you would quiet our spirits, Lord God, and open our hearts and minds to the message you have for us, Lord God. Give us the discernment and wisdom to apply to our life, to give you honor and glory.
If I were to ask you to make a list of your priorities, what would you put on your list? And here's an even better question. What would be the first thing on your list? Think about it, friends. What is your top priority in this life? Now, I have no doubt, since you're sitting here in a church this morning, that all of you would probably say that God is indeed a priority. And I'd even go as far as to say most of you, if not all of you, would say that God is your top priority. But let me ask you, is he really? If someone were to secretly follow you around every minute of the day for the next 7 days, and you didn't know they were there, would they be able to conclude this time next week that the Lord is your top priority? What about your calendar, your appointment book? Would a close examination of your schedule reveal that the Lord is indeed your top priority? What about if we were to look at the ledger in your checkbook? Would we conclude that the Lord is your number one priority? What about the people who know you best? If we were to give them a polygraph, would they be able to truly say that they know for a fact that serving the Lord is the top priority of your life? Friends, it is so very easy to say that the Lord is our number one priority. But it is something completely different to live in such a manner where the world sees that he is our number one priority. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes, and I want to examine what the Lord himself has to say about our priorities. It's my hope and my prayer that we will leave here today with the result that we need to truly make the Lord the number one priority in our lives. So what did Jesus have to say here in Matthew chapter 6 about our priorities? Well, the first thing that the Lord has to say about our priorities is the truth that we, and yes, we, me and you, we waste a lot of time worrying about things that have no eternal value, and we worry about them so much that we allow them to become priorities in our life. Look at verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you hold to the one and despise the other. And then he says this, you cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is money. Very first thing that Jesus talks about is what? Money. Why? Because for so many people, money is the priority. As a matter of fact, money has become a master for a lot of people in this world, hasn't it? Jesus' own words here bear that truth out. It's not just the money that's a priority for so many people. It's also all of the things that money can buy for us that becomes a priority. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, not in any way, shape, or form, I'm not saying that it's wrong to work, or I'm not saying it's a waste of your time to work, because that is the furthest thing from the truth. I've said this 100 times, I'm going to say it 101. You ready? Work is not a curse. Work is a blessing.
Amen.
And if you don't believe me, then consider this. I've said this before as well. In the Garden of Eden, before there was a curse, there was work. God put the first man and the first woman into the garden and told them to tend the garden and watch over the garden. And guess what that was? That was work. But it wasn't a curse. It was a blessing. But today, so many people in our society do not view work as a blessing. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people in our society today that don't want to work at all. By golly, our politicians, boy, they're jumping on the spot quick to jump on it, aren't they? We'll tell you what, you keep voting for me, you won't have to work. You keep voting for me, I'll give you this and that and the other, and you'll be fine. I don't know what you call that. I call that buying votes. What do you call it? What does God have to say about it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I'm going to tell you what God has to say about it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the Word of God says this. It says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. What does God say? He ain't going to work, he ain't going to eat. You know what? I'll bet you if the government cut off food stamps tomorrow, I bet people find a job real quick. What do you think? I bet people get real industrious real fast. Get hungry, it's amazing what it'll motivate you to do. God says you don't work, you don't eat. For a cry from our society today, God does. He expects us to work. He expects us to take care of ourselves in our own business. But that doesn't mean that we should allow work or the money that it provides us or the things that money will buy for us. It doesn't mean we allow those things to become a priority. Yes, God expects you to work. God expects you to be a good steward with what he gives you. There's no problem with that. The problem starts when we allow work and money and material things to become a bigger priority in our lives than the Lord is. That's where the problem begins. And another big problem with making money and work and possessions, making those things a top priority in our lives, is this. When this short little life is over, you're not going to take any of those things with you. Bible's real clear, friends. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, when it says that it is certain we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. But even though we know this, and we know it's true, how much effort do we exert working and making money so that we can have all the things that the world says we simply cannot live without? Got a question. Anybody know what percentage the United States population is of the world population? Anybody? I do. I looked it up. The United States makes up 4.2% of the world population. Anybody know how much percentage of the world's goods the United States consumes? About 35%. 4.2% of the world's population consumes 35% of the world's good. What does that tell you about Americans? They call us consumers for a reason, don't they? Buy, buy, buy. And we get in debt to do it, don't we? So we have to work 80 hours a week to pay for all of it. No wonder it becomes a priority. Not only does 4.2% of the world's population consume 35% of goods, we also make about 35% of the world's waste. Isn't that sad? The Lord wasn't done. Because as we move on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes on to talk about food and drink. And yes, I know we all need food. We all need some kind of liquid to be nourished and healthy and hydrated. I understand that. I'm going to put this one in the category of our health and well-being. Friends, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with being healthy. You should be. There's nothing wrong with eating well. There's nothing wrong with exercising. As a matter of fact, the Bible says your body is the temple of God. It's the only one God has given you or is going to give you, and therefore you ought to be a good steward of it and take good care of it. But again, in America, we have this tendency to take everything to extremes, don't we? And we eat just healthy, healthy, healthy. We exercise, we do all this, we do all that. To the point we make it a priority in our lives. But let me tell you the truth. No matter how well you eat, no matter how much you exercise, you're still going to die, and you're still going to stand before the Lord in judgment in very short order in the grand scheme of things. And while we should be good stewards with our body and make taking care of ourselves a priority, it should never become a bigger priority than the Lord is in our lives. And let me remind you of something. In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Word of God says this. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Did you hear that? Bodily exercise profiteth little. Let me read you the rest of the verse. It says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things." Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You can exercise till the cows come home. You're still going to drop dead someday. They're still going to have a funeral for you. They're still going to stick you in a box and stick you in a hole and cover it up with dirt, okay? I don't care how good you eat or how much exercise. That's coming quick. That's why God says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, and it will help you in this life, and it will help you in the next life. That's why we ought to be more focused on godliness than we are with our physical well-being. We ought to be more concerned about our spiritual well-being than our physical well-being. And we cannot allow our physical well-being to become a priority over the Lord. And then we move on and we get to verses 28 to 30. And we see that Jesus also talks about a need for clothing. I understand we need to be clothed in the wintertime. It gets cold. We need to stay warm. We don't just need clothes in the winter. We need them all seasons to protect us from the elements. And for this part, I'm going to put this in the category of shelter and clothing. We need those things to keep us safe and healthy. But you know, again, in this country, just like everything else, we take things to extremes. We do take things to extremes. I recently, at a fast food restaurant, heard two young girls talking. I don't know, they're maybe 19, 20, maybe a little bit older than that. And I heard the one say to the other, this is what she said, and I quote, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing Walmart's brand of clothing. My first thought was, well, honey, you think I was a real head because I buy all my clothes at Tractor Supply, okay? And I really do. Just about all my clothes come from Tractor Supply. That's true, isn't it? She said, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing Walmart. And then she told her, she said, there's only two designer brands that I'll wear. Now, I'm a fashion expert. I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? But I'm going to guarantee you this. Those two designer brands she wears, I bet they're real expensive, what do you think? I bet those designer brands cost a lot of money. What does that tell you about her? I'm going to tell you what tells me. It tells me that what she wears is a big priority to her. A big priority. Friends, I'm going to say something. There's nothing wrong with working, nothing wrong with making money. We all have bills to pay. We all need food, clothing, and shelter. There's no problem pursuing any of these things. The problem comes when we allow all of these temporal, worldly things to become a bigger priority in our lives than the Lord is. And if this wasn't a problem, and if it isn't a problem, then why did Jesus say what he said here? Think about it. If this isn't a problem, why does Jesus address it? Because he knows how we are. And he knows this is a problem. And he knows our tendency to make worldly, temporal things a priority over him. So this is why he says everything that he says. Before I move on, let me direct your attention to verse 31, where Jesus said, therefore, listen, take no thought. In other words, don't worry, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. The Lord said, we're not to worry about these things. As a matter of fact, he commands us not to worry about these things. And then in verse 32, he is clear that he already knows everything we need, even before we ask him, that he'll take care of us, and we just need to trust him. Not only must we not worry about these things, we must not allow them to become the priority of our lives. This brings me to my second point this morning, and that is what the Lord himself said should be the priority of our life. What should be the priority of our life? Look at verse 33, the first part of it. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Christians, here's your priority. Here is your priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does Jesus mean when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God? How do we do it? Well, there's a lot of ways we can do it. I'm going to give you three this morning, okay? First of all, we seek the kingdom of God as it pertains to our time. Now, this is where the modern-day Christian has really messed all this up. Okay? We have. We've just completely messed this up when it comes to seeking God first pertaining to our time. Because what do? We fill our schedules pursuing all of the temporal things that Jesus spoke about in verses 24 through 30, and then after we fill our schedule pursuing all those things, we try to squeeze the Lord in. That's what we do. I do it. I've seen you do it. I know we do it. We fill our schedules doing everything Jesus talked about in these verses, and it's like, oh, Lord, I've got to try to fit you in a little bit this week. Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. That is the exact wrong way to do it. We shouldn't fill our schedules with temporal things and try to fit him. No, we got to build our schedules around him rather than trying to occasionally fit him into our schedule. Think about it, friends. The Bible says we are to give to the Lord the first fruits. You know what that also means of your time? I mean, after all, friends, if Lord gives his first, and you get what's left. But think about it as it pertains to your time. When do we have church? On the morning of the first day of the week. It's called the first fruits of our time. We meet the first day of the week, in the morning, in the beginning of the day, to give God his first in the week. But it shouldn't just be once a week, every day, friends. You ought to begin your day spending time with the Lord through prayer and through the study of his word. That ought to be the first thing you do when you get up. And then in addition to this, you should make time to do anything else that he calls upon you to do. And I know this is difficult. Funny, he just walked in. He's sitting back here. Don Tackett. He called me a couple weeks ago. So I got a neighbor. He's got cancer. He's sick. He's under hospice care. God said he's lost. Would you come see him? Now, I told Don I would. A couple days later, Don texted me back late afternoon. We still on for this evening. Because we made an appointment to go see the guy. I tell y'all something, the night before, I think I got 2 hours of sleep. I was tired, I was worn out, and I had a bad day. I had a long day. I was just absolutely wore out. I was just looking forward to going home and just laying down on the couch and not doing anything else for the rest of the day. It was that kind of day. And when Don texted me and said, are we still on? My first thought was, man, I got to put this off. I'm going to call him and text him. I'm going to do something here, but I'm going to tell him I'm just going to put this off. I'm exhausted. And I was. And about the time I picked up my phone, God put something in my mind. You know what he put in my mind? John chapter 4. Remember John chapter 4 where Jesus went to Samaria and he was weary, the Bible says, and he sat down the well. He had a purpose for being there, didn't he? We're just going to go this way as a shortcut. No, it said he must needs go through Samaria. And even though he was tired, even though he was weary, guess what? He still went. And I heard the voice of God just as plain as day say, get off your rear end, get in your truck and drive to Jeffersonville. And I did. You know why? Because if he's the priority where my calendar's concerned, then I'm going to go where he sends me when he sends me. When an opportunity arises, and there's something he wants me to do, if he's the priority, what am I going to do? I'm going to do what he wants me to do, right? Shouldn't we all? Shouldn't we all? Not only that, he also needs to be a priority when it comes to our gifts and our talents. We all have gifts and talents, don't we? But very often we use those talents and gifts to serve ourselves. And while there's nothing wrong with using talents and gifts to make a living or support our family, we need to remember that it is the Lord himself who gave us those gifts and talents, and therefore we should use them to honor him. And we should make it a priority to use our gifts and our talents to do just that, to honor him. You know something? You know, if you will use a talent or a gift that you have to minister to someone else who is in need, you know it'll open up all kinds of avenues and doors for you to talk to them about Jesus. It absolutely will. I'm going to tell you what I found. If you're going to do something nice for a lost person, you see they have a need, and you have the ability to meet that need, and you go meet that need. You know what I have found? When you ask me, can I have 5 minutes to tell you about the Lord? You know what? I've never had anybody say no. Are you going to tell me no after I just did something nice for you? Probably not. They'll listen to you. It opens up all kinds of avenues to talk to people about our faith. But how often, friends, do we go out of our way to meet a need for someone else? You know, so often I think we're so consumed with ourselves and our own problems that we don't even notice the problems other people are having around us. And third, this is one no one wants to hear about, but you're going to hear about it this morning. Not only should we make God a priority where our time and our talents are concerned, we also should make God a priority where our treasures are concerned. And yes, I'm talking about your money. So again, I'm going to ask you, if someone's going to look at your checkbook, would they conclude the Lord is your biggest priority? Like I said, we exert a lot of time, a lot of effort making money. But are we using those treasures to advance his kingdom? Are we truly giving him of the first fruits? Or are we giving him just a little bit out of what's left? Friends, let me tell you something. I don't care if we're talking about our time, our talents, or our treasures. We should make it a priority in our lives to use these things to honor him. We should be willing to use all that we have and all that we are to bring glory to him and build his kingdom. And I will say this, Lord, is truly the priority that we save. Then it stands to reason we should be doing these things. And this brings me to the final point, and that is a promise from the Lord himself. Verse 33 again, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's the promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? All the things we've talked about in verses 24 through 30. God says, you seek me first. You put me first, and I'll take care of the money issues. I'll take care of the food, the clothes, and the shelter. I'll take care of everything. Just put me first. Just put me first. I'm going to tell you something. It takes a lot of faith to do that. It really does. It takes a lot of faith to do it. It takes faith to take other things out of our schedules and make time to put Him first. It takes time to go to minister to someone who is in need and use our talents to honor God. And yes, it takes faith to give of the Lord of the first fruits where your money is concerned and give Him His before you use what's left for yourself. But let me remind you another promise in the Word of God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God makes this promise. He says, first His command, He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Bring the tithes into the storehouse, God says. That ain't all God said in that verse. He says, and prove me now herewith. In other words, I know money's tight, but you bring me what's mine and bring me mine first and put me to the test. That's what God's saying. Put me to the test. Prove me now herewith. Saith the Lord of hosts, and here's the promise. And see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. God says, if you'll make Him your priority where your finances are concerned, He said, He'll abundantly bless you. I don't know about you, but I call opening the windows of heaven and pouring me out a blessing that's so big it ain't room enough to receive it. I call that being abundantly blessed. What do you call it? And then this is the exact same thing Jesus is saying here in Matthew 6:33 when He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. Isn't that what He's saying? Now, I don't talk about money very often from the pulpit, and I think anybody who comes here regularly knows that's the truth. But since we're on the subject, I'm going to say this. There are a lot of people in the modern day church who claim Christ as their Savior, who struggle mightily when it comes to their finances. And I think a lot of the struggles happen for no other reason than they lack the faith to put God to the test and make Him their number one priority where their finances are concerned. Hey, I know. I'm not a rich man. I know that feeling when there's too much month at the end of the money. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know what it's like when the car breaks down or you have a new refrigerator, new washer, dryer, everything yourself. I just don't have money this week. But I'm also speaking from experience. I know that every time those situations have presented themselves and I went ahead and gave God what was His first, God took care of things. He ain't never let me down. Matter of fact, He's blessed me abundantly with more than I need. Why? Because that's what He said He'd do. But it takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? And so many struggle because they lack the faith to believe that. But not only do we struggle because we fail to make Him the priority over our finances, we also struggle because we fail to make Him the priority where our time and our talents are concerned. But Jesus is crystal clear in verse 33 that it is only as we seek to truly put Him first and make Him the priority in our lives over everything else, that all these things shall be added unto us. He's real plain. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then, He says, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, just so you don't think I'm just talking outside of my mouth and trying to raise funds, because I'm not. We don't have anything special we're trying to get money for, just so you know. I'm not going to have you sign any kind of slip saying you're going to make a promise to give this much. No, we're not going to do that. But you know, over and over, the Word of God tells us that God expects us to put Him first and make Him the priority over all other things and all other people. Over and over, it does. Friends, let me ask you, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, Jordan and come into the promised land, what was the first city they had to overcome?
Jericho.
And you remember what God told them about Jericho? He said all of the spoils from Jericho belonged to him. He told them, I will share the spoils of the other places with you later, but the first one is mine. It's called first fruits. Still works. Still applicable. God said, it's all mine. But there was this knothead named Achan who didn't listen. And he took some of the spoils for himself and tried to hide them away. Guess what? God wasn't fooled. Oh yeah, he still ain't today. Why did Achan do it? I'll tell you why. Same reason people are still doing it today. Because he made himself and his will a priority over the Lord. That's why he did it. And not only did it cost Achan his life, it brought misery and defeat to the people of God because one man refused to make the Lord the priority. What about Balaam? Y'all remember him? Balaam became so obsessed with collecting a reward for himself that the reward and not God became his priority as he tried to curse Israel. And Balaam brought so much misery upon himself and ultimately died because he refused to make the Lord his priority. You remember the rich young ruler in Matthew 19? Ultimately, that young man died in his sin and perished in hell. Why? Because he could not make Jesus a priority over his wealth. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said he has to be the priority in our lives, even over our spouses, our parents, and yes, even our precious little children and grandchildren. He has to be first. He has to be first. The Bible's full of people who brought nothing but misery and death upon themselves simply because they refused to make the Lord the number one priority of their lives. And today, so many of God's people are still making the same mistake and bringing so much misery upon themselves for no other reason than they lack the faith to truly put the Lord first in every aspect of their lives. So again, I ask you, is the Lord the number one priority? Is he priority in word only? Or do your deeds show the world that indeed he's the most important thing in your life? And are you truly seeking first his kingdom? Trusting in faith that as you do, he'll take care of everything else. Today, if you examine yourself in your own heart and you find the Lord is not a priority when it comes to your time or your talents or your treasures, or anything else, let me give you some advice. Come to the altar today and resolve yourself to truly make him your priority in all things. Because the Lord is not, listen, he is not going to add all of these things until you trust him enough to truly put him first and seek first his kingdom and his reign.